Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. In our study last Wednesday evening, we considered the trial of Abraham. Abraham was a man that knew something about trials, tribulation, sufferings. And the Lord, having given Abraham the promised son, Isaac, then came to Abraham, and according to God's infinite wisdom, according to his unquestioned will and purpose, he commanded Abraham to do something. He said in Genesis chapter 22, I'll just quote this for you. Genesis 22, verse 2, this is what the Lord said. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now, right now, before we go any farther, and I'd like to deal with verses 1 and 2 here this morning, and then, Lord willing, 3 to 9, second service, but right here, right now, let's remember the words of our Lord to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24, 27 declares this, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Now, I want us to understand the picture that we shall look at today, which, Lord willing, I want to look at the law of the burnt offering. When the Lord told Abraham, I want you to take your son and offer him unto me for a burnt offering. There is, I believe, as we shall see if we continue to look at these verses, no clearer, no more beautiful picture of the Father giving his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for a burnt offering, and then the willingness and obedience and submission unto the Father by the Lord Jesus concerning being made the burnt offering. Brother Scott said something one time that stuck with me, and I know it did with you. He said Almighty God had to do something for himself before he could do something for his people. And in this burnt offering, we're going to behold what the Lord did for himself. Now, Isaac, the son of God's promise, one, according to the scriptures, in whom all the earth would be blessed, the one through whom the Messiah would come. God told him, he said, the Messiah is coming through Isaac. And so the Lord, when he came to Abraham and he told him, I want you to take your son, Isaac, your only son, the son of God's promise, and offer him for a burnt offering. Now there, the faith of Abraham was put to the fiery trial and testing of Almighty God. God Almighty was going to prove. He was going to prove to Abraham God's faithfulness. He was going to prove to Abraham. God knew. But he was going to prove to Abraham concerning the faith that God had given him. Now, according, I want you to turn to Hebrews 11. Hold your place. We'll be right back. Hebrews 11. Now, concerning the record of Abraham's reaction This is what the Spirit of God says concerning the reaction of Abraham concerning God's command. Hebrews 11, verse 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Scripture declares, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Isaac was offered up in Abraham's heart. That boy was dead. Whenever God told him, I want you to take your son, your only son, son that thou lovest, and you offer him for a burnt offering, Abraham believed God. He believed God. And that boy in his heart was offered up. He believed that God was able to raise that boy up. There, the faith of Abraham, again, put to that fiery trial and testing of Almighty God. Isaac, in Abraham's eyes and heart, was already raised up in the figure being born. Abraham believed God could raise him from the dead. God had shown him that, having raised that boy up out of the dead womb of his mama. His mama was past the age of childbearing. And God gave him a son. Gave him a son out of a womb that the scripture said was dead. Turn to Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. Verses 16 to 21. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, yet neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You offer your son up to me. Abraham slew that boy in his heart. And he believed this. God said that the Messiah was coming through Isaac. God can raise him up. God can raise him up. Now I want us to consider this morning from the revelation of God's word, this blessed offering. And in Leviticus chapter 1, looking at verses 1 and 2, and we're going to start, I'm going to tell you right now in verse 3, where it says, and if his offering be a burnt offering, but a burnt sacrifice. But I want to look at verses 1 and 2 that lead up to what God said, starting in verse 3 of Leviticus 1. This, where God told Abraham, I want you to offer up your son for a burnt offering. That's the first place in Scripture where the burnt offering was mentioned. First place. God told him. Now that's first mention. And that offering surely was understood of Abraham. Now, we're not told how Abraham knew it, because in the book of Leviticus, which is the book of Moses, also written by Moses, God moved Moses to write down the law of the burnt offering, what was to happen. But Abraham, who's told of God to offer Isaac for a burnt offering, was going to offer him as a burnt offering. How did he know it? Obviously, the Spirit of God taught him. But he understood. And that, and we're going to see, according to good pleasure, God concerning this indescribable mercy and grace to hell-deserving sinners through the submission and humility of the Lord Jesus in this, Lord willing, just a few minutes. Leviticus 1:1. And the Lord called unto Moses. I want to just stop for just a second. The Lord called unto Moses. Psalm 28:1. The Lord called unto Moses. I thought, what compassion. What mercy. David said in Psalm 28:1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me. Lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Lord, speak to my heart. God's people hear the voice of the Lord. I've told you this many times. How do they hear? They hear in the Scripture. They hear in providence. They hear in the reading of the words. But they hear it in their heart. They know. They know. When God gives command, they hear it. And the Lord called unto Moses. You know, when the Lord called unto Moses from Mount Sinai, there his communication was concerning the glory of God's fiery law. That's when the Lord told Moses, you come up and you tell the people, don't come up on the mountain. Moses can come up, but don't let the people come up. If they come up, if they touch the bottom of this mountain, you pierce them through. You're going to die. God was going to speak unto Moses concerning his law. And the people, seeing the earthquakes and the lightning and stuff, they said, Moses, you go up there. You go up and talk to God. We don't want to go. You go. God spoke to him concerning that fiery law. But here, listen to this. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying. Now where is he speaking from? He's speaking from that place which declares that peace, having been made through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the person of our salvation. The tabernacle which pictured Christ Jesus the Lord, who is the tabernacle of God's dwelling in grace and mercy to his people. God's going to speak to Moses. He speaks to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. In peace, comfort. And he said in verse 2, he said, you speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering from the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. Now again, we're reminded of two precious truths here. First of all, that the word of the Lord was sent unto a people of God's affection and choosing. Now look at that second verse. Speak unto the children of Israel. Say unto them. Think what joy, what peace. God has a people of his choosing. A people of his eternal love and affection. A people chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he speaks unto them in mercy. In mercy and compassion. And he speaks one way. This is the second thing I see in here. He speaks to a people of his choosing. And he speaks one way. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Moses. He's talking to Moses. Moses, you speak to the children of Israel and you say unto them. Here's the second thing I see. God speaks through a mediator. He speaks through an arbitrator. One who intervenes between two parties. One who can restore peace and friendship between two parties. Moses here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was commanded to speak to God's people. Let's remember this. There's one God and there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. Oh, the merciful things of God which are spoken to his people concerning his love for them, spoken through the one who willingly, the one who qualified to represent God because he is God, and to represent man. He was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Moses, you speak unto the people of Israel. Speak to my people, and you say unto them. God Almighty has a message to his people, and they hear it. Given a heart of faith, they hear the word of the Lord. And here's what he said. If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If any man bring an oblation, something that is brought, that nearness through a sacrifice might be accomplished. If any of you bring an offering, you shall bring your offering. Now listen. Of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. You know what mercy that God would reveal that which he accepts. He's going to accept only that which is concerning his son. And the Lord can only be approached when he's found to be appeased. And God was offended in the garden by man, by his disobedience, and his law in the garden was broken. The scripture that was given, I mean the law that was given unto Moses, and this is a law, this is a command, this is a word from the Lord. He said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So God, by man's rebellion, has been offended. He's been disobeyed. And God, though, has been pleased through the revelation of his scripture. God has been pleased to reveal that he has been appeased. He's been satisfied. He's been satisfied one way. He's been satisfied through his son. And that truth is pictured in the fact that if an offering was to be brought to the Lord, that it was not going to be an offering of man's decision, man's choice. Appeasement was only going to be found through the place of God's choosing. Remember, the Lord gave instruction concerning clean animals, four-footed beast, and unclean animals. There was a long list in the scriptures concerning that. And here's what the Lord said. If an animal is going to be brought, It's going to have to be an animal from the cattle, even of the herd and the flock. Those which God declared to be clean animals, according to God's appointment and choosing. Now, again, this speaks of Christ's purity and acceptance, cleanness. Nothing that we're looking at here is apart from the declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these types and figures, if an offering is going to be brought, you bring it out of the herd, the cattle, of the flock. Unclean animals. According to Leviticus 11, you go back and for sake of time, just read Leviticus 11. God will tell them, told them, he said, you don't, these are unclean animals. Touch these, or eat these. That unclean animals offered unto the Lord would be a picture of all man-centered, false religion, man's way, man's choice, man's thoughts, and the Lord declared it to be unclean. You remember, the things of man's choosing, man's efforts, is not accepted. An unclean animal would present nothing more than man's refusal to hear God's word, his disrespect for the Lord's word, and therefore reveal man's thinking that he can approach God any way he wants to. I can bring an eagle if I want to. I can bring a camel and sacrifice a camel. I can bring whatever I decide. The Lord said, if a man bring an offering, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, the herd, and the flock. God's sacrifice is according to God's revelation. It's according to God's wisdom. It's according to God's will. And Almighty God accepts only that which God supplies. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He that hath the Son, not he that hath religion, he that hath baptism, he that hath this, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life, and the wrath of God abideth on him. I pray that the Lord would bless our hearts, these few words of preparation, as we, Lord willing, go into this next message on the law of the burnt offering, what was commanded. I pray God bless it to our hearts for Christ's sake.